Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. I'm Christine DiMatte. Well, Florida U.S. Senator Bill Nelson visited Miami on Tuesday with a message about Venezuela. He said people there are starving as a result of the worst economic collapse in modern Latin American history. Nelson urged the Trump administration to increase legal and economic sanctions on abusive Venezuelan leaders.
A lot of these guys have bank accounts in the U.S. as well as they love to come to the U.S. Yank their visas, freeze their bank accounts, and increasingly make it hurt on these people that are perpetrating the violence.
Meanwhile, the situation has grown so desperate that a growing number of young Venezuelan women are choosing to have themselves sterilized instead of bringing more children into all the chaos. With us in the studio is WLRN America's correspondent Tim Padgett. Tim, always great to have you in here.
Thank you.
And joining us via Skype is Mariana Zuniga, a journalist based in Caracas, Venezuela. Mariana, hello.
Hello.
And you've been covering the street protests this week in Caracas, and that unrest has left, I do believe, 9 people dead.
And yes, indeed.
So first of all, we are glad you're okay. We're relieved about that. Welcome to the show. Mariana, you've been talking to many of these women who voluntarily have been sterilized. Now, we have a clip from one of them, 34-year-old Sule Rodriguez. She has not undergone the procedure yet, but she said she needs to.
I have 8 children. It would be too difficult for me to have another one. We can't even find diapers. I really want to be sterilized.
Mariana, do we know how many Venezuelan women so far have voluntarily been sterilized? Do we have a count?
No, we don't have a count because having fresh data in Venezuela is actually really, really difficult. But as we said in the report, the waiting list in these clinics is there as long as 500 or even 300 women that are waiting to be sterilized.
Now, I'm assuming that the women are having surgical procedures to have their tubes tied, right? Tubal ligation?
Yes, exactly. That's what's happening. It's Dr. Rosabel, who is the third-year resident that we interviewed for this piece, she told us that it depends of which kind of women. It depends of the number of children that they have had in the past, but it usually goes like that.
Okay, so if you've had, they allow you to have this procedure if you've had how many children so far?
I think it doesn't matter. Like, if you want and if you are conscious about the procedure, they always tell you that this is irreversible and you won't be able to have more children in the future. It doesn't matter the number of children that you have had in the past.
Okay.
Of course, apparently it's easier if you have had less than more children. For example, I imagine that for Sulite it would be more difficult than for Floor, that was our first interview.
And Floor was the woman who had 8 children, and she said, She had 4?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Tim is telling me she had 4 children.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Flora had 4 children, and she wanted to be sterilized, and she did the procedure, and it was a success. And her neighbor, Sulai, who has 8 children, she desperately wants the procedure because, for example, she was telling me that for a simple fever, she can even find the medicine for her youngest.
Penicillin. And with medicine, like everything else in Venezuela, in such short supply, and the country's public hospital system falling apart, where are they finding the doctors to perform these procedures?
Well, these doctors are residents. They are doctors that are, like, working in public hospitals. Venezuela has indeed a shortage of doctors because many people have left. I think the count right now is like 13,000 doctors that have left the country, but fortunately we still have some good ones still working hard in the public hospitals in Venezuela.
And Tim Padgett, please give us a little snapshot of how things got so bad in Venezuela. This is a country that is oil rich. Why are people starving? What is going on?
Well, because you have the worst combination of possible governments, both incompetence and authoritarianism. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is simply an ideologically obtuse leader. I've been covering Latin America for 30 years, and quite frankly, he may well be the worst head of state I've ever covered. in this hemisphere. And that combination of, as I said, incompetence and authoritarianism has simply led to gross economic mismanagement, because oil prices have collapsed in Venezuela, and this government knows nothing about how to manage an economy. And at the same time, as its back is up against the wall, because people are so furious about this in Venezuela, they have become more dictatorial. This week's example of the government just simply taking over a factory, a General Motors factory. In Venezuela, is a perfect example. They only have one real act that they can follow in their leftist playbook, and that's just take over the economy, and it just results in disaster, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Now, if this was happening in the United States of America, if there was this wave of young women of childbearing years all of a sudden stepping up to be sterilized, government officials would certainly step up and say something about it.
Right.
But Maduro, pretty much silent on this, am I right?
Well, he wants to be silent about it because he doesn't want to make a big deal out of it, because as Mariana says at the end of her piece this week for WLRN, this is probably one of the loudest statements yet we've heard from Venezuelan citizens about conditions in that country. The fact that women don't want to bring children into the world in that country is probably one of the loudest protests you're going to hear. So he's being silent about it for that reason. But we are hearing from other institutions like the church. I believe they've called this a barbarity. But no, I mean, this is a real embarrassment for the Maduro government, and you're not going to hear anything from him for that reason.
So, Mariana, the government officials not saying much, the church spoken out, called it barbarous. I have to ask, what do the husbands and the boyfriends have to say?
Well, in Venezuela, since 2015, there's a law that protects reproductive rights of women, and so they don't have, like, more another choice than accept this. I asked, for example, Flor or Zulaid what their boyfriend and husband they think about it, and they're actually happy. They know how difficult it is. For example, in Flores Peña's household, he's the only one working right now, so he knows how difficult it is to survive on a wage that is practically nothing. It is very complicated probably to say how much it is right now, because you have to change it. Venezuela has a very complicated change system, an official one, and then another one that is in the black market. But it's barely, probably like $5 or something like that, and people are surviving under that.
But those wages are dropping by the hour, because you have an inflation rate of 800% in
mm-hmm.
Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I do believe in October, I think it was the International Monetary Fund was predicting 400% inflation rate. That was only October. Now it's what? Almost 800.
800, and they are officially into the realm of hyperinflation now.
So, Mariana, you just spoke about the husbands at home. On the subject of people being at home, now, I'm assuming that the women have to have some recovery time. This is, after all, surgery. Who is available to take care of them? And with so many kids, how are they being taken care of while they recover?
Yes, I think, for example, in the case of Flora, she has an older daughter that she was able to care for the other children at that moment while Flora was recovering. Unfortunately, she didn't have a job at that moment, so it wasn't something that she was actually not going to work because of the recovery. She was an ex domestic employee, and their chiefs or their employees, they left the country because they were part of that middle class. They were looking for something different for their future. And people like Flor or Shulai, they just get stuck in the country because they can't leave.
And Mariana, you've been covering the unrest, as I said earlier, this week. What is happening now?
Well, for example, we have seen big demonstrations in Caracas and in other parts of the cities, but of the country, and we've seen like tens of thousands of people flooding in the streets of Venezuela. This is probably the biggest wave of protests in Venezuela since the ones in 2014. The problem is that the repression has been so hard that now there has been like 1,000 detentions, more or less, or more than that, and the death toll is now 9 people.
Okay.
Like last night, for example, we saw clashes between some working class neighborhoods and the police, and like we see how the opposition has no intention of leaving the streets, but we don't know how much people can resist.
But 1,000
this kind of repression.
1,000 people locked up so far, 9 people dead. Tim, Senator Nelson and others are demanding action. But what can the United States do to alleviate the suffering in Venezuela?
There's really not much the United States can do besides what Senator Nelson described there at the outset of this segment, trying to put economic sanctions on officials who they feel are responsible for all of these abuses going on. The real factor here is going to be the people themselves. As Mariana was pointing out, that we saw protests like this back in 2014. They petered out. What's different this time is that people are, I think, staying on the streets. I was impressed last week, for example, when it was Semana Santa, Easter Holy Week. Usually Venezuelans, even when there's protests going on, they'll stop and go to the beach. Last week, they did not. Mm-hmm. That was very telling.
Very impressive
in terms of what could be the staying power, because people are a lot more desperate now than they were back in 2014, and Maduro's back is much more up against the wall than it was. So it's going to take a combination of this sort of protest staying power and governments in the region finally pressuring the Venezuelan government to do something. Those are going to be the two factors, really, not the United States.
Also, I think it is important to say that this time we are seeing like a more cohesive opposition. In 2014, the opposition was completely split, and we have even Enrique Capriles, one of the opposition leaders, saying being against this kind of protest in 2014. And now we have a whole opposition together calling people to take the streets and to continue in the streets.
Mariana Zuniga, she's reporting from Caracas, and we've been joined also by WLRN America's editor Tim Padgett. Thank you both, and Mariana, please stay safe.
I will. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break at this point. Coming up next, manatees are taken off the federal government's endangered list. What that change in status could mean for Florida's beloved sea cows. We'll be right back.